eternity with Al-Amin. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al-Amin.
We are delighted that you can join us on Windows into Eternity. My name is Al-Amin, and we are here to answer your questions regarding concepts of ascension and other deeply mystical and esoteric information that you might write into us about. For those of you that are joining up with our email list, we do attempt to answer all your questions one way or the other. We have with us Paul. And Paul, thank you for the trouble you take each time to compile these questions. And it's always like a treasure hunt for me because I never know what I'm going to get. I guess like Forrest Gump, like the box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. Because Paul does not tell me ahead of time what questions he has prepared. And so it's always fun for me to find out what we're talking about.
Well, hopefully this time you'll get some ones with strawberry in the middle. I know those are the good.
Yes, you're right.
Well, how about I start with a question that does seem a little bit juicy. it has to do with the power that mother and father share in the cosmos. Some students have been interested how the power between them relates. Because, of course, as you've mentioned, we've only heard about the father through many cycles of dissension, and all spiritual traditions have talked about, or many have talked about the father at great length, but we've rarely heard about mother. And now with the reemergence of knowledge of mother and of the awareness that she actually birthed the father, people are wondering, at least your students, where the father fits and how much power he holds within the grand scheme of things. Think you could talk about that for us?
Yes, I can. And actually, you know, it's such a beautiful love story. And I can give you the quick answer, but let me tell you a little bit about this beautiful story.
Yeah, I think a love story is worth hearing the whole thing.
Because you know what? Mother's love for her first creation, the father, it has been so unbelievably constant and devoted. And with all of her heart, she has strived and strived and strived to make him more and more real, more and more permanent, in multiple ways. Well, why people became so very over-focused on Godfather and completely ignored the fact that Godfather did not create himself. In fact, the entire tree of life, etc., is just that vertical masculine axis, completely ignoring the fact that it's a horizontal one that precedes its creation. It's because imposter gods during the cycles of the fall, if we listen to the history keepers of the cosmos' account of the history of those cycles, which is given in the second half of The Gift of the Unicorns, they explain how imposter gods put themselves in the position of God the Father. But he was absent from many of those cycles of the fall. Mother, on the other hand, was not. She had entered into the cycles of the fall because it was the one way in which she could make her children, her creations, real. So what happened is the imposter gods, wanting to subdue her, wanting to rule, usurped the true God of truth, the true father's position. And they created a male-dominated rule. Male-dominated rule brings about separation consciousness and hence a fall. So the fact that we're over-focused on the father is a deliberate attempt to create illusion doesn't mean there isn't this incredible being that is the Father. And with Mother, this is an interesting question to be asking at this time, because on the 25th of December 2007, she gave the Father equal power within the cosmos. Now, what does that mean? The Father does not have limitless power. He is bound, if you will. He is only in that portion of creation that is within her, the part which the spotlight is shone on. In other words, everything that is the Infinite Mother. But there's a portion that where creation takes place that is lit up, if you will, that is the screen that's on your computer. It doesn't mean that this computer doesn't hold this vast array of information. It just means that's the screen you can work with because it's the one that's up. Within the screen of the cosmos, if you will, he has been given by Mother equal power and a brand new frequency band or building block in creation was created as they entered into a new form of relationship called self-sustaining oneness is what it's called. It's brand new, so I still don't quite understand all of its concepts, its nature, but it forms a vast, what's called by the Toltec seers, band of compassion, which is one of the building blocks of creation. Now, can Mother be more powerful than Father within creation? Absolutely. I mean, she can pull in any power she needs from any source at any time outside of that light that shone on the ceiling. But within, she chooses to have this balance of power because of her love for the Father and his impeccability. So they are jointly powerful within, even though she is the only one being that expresses as the many. Does that answer that?
Yes, that answers that quite beautifully. Thank you, Almeen. And it does make a lot of sense to me that that's the way the power would be shared, because I know that you have expressed before that it really is a profound principle to understand that ultimately there really only is Mother, and that the Father plays this role within the cosmos as her partner, and that when we really understand that all there really is Mother, that we can really understand how existence functions.
And you know something else that's indicative of this new way of existing, because Mother always has been far more powerful than Father. For those of our listeners who are interested in the past in doing the Merkaba, which are the exercises of spinning the fields around the body, you know, the male one always spun at a faster rate than the female one. 34 rotations to the left of the fields around the body to the 21 to the right. In May of 2007, Mother told me that this was deliberately done by the imposter gods to bring a supremacy of left-brained thinking and the masculine within the cosmos. Because when left brain is in that dictatorial position, it doesn't access the unknown, which is where all, you know, true new information is supposed to be, and hence growth. Because you grew from making the unknown the known. You know, like a caterpillar eating a bite out of a leaf and turning it into life force within. Mother said that henceforth there isn't imbalance needed for growth, that growth comes through mutual support. And what she did is that she said that all Merkabas will spin at equal speed, left and right, masculine fields and feminine fields, and that no amount of Merkabic exercises is going to change that, because she didn't want well-meaning Merkaba practitioners to accidentally put themselves into an old illusional way of being. So it's a very similar principle.
Yeah, and that's very good to know that this precaution has been put in place, because I know a lot of people who practice Merkaba exercises aren't aware of where those equations of imbalance spinning originated from.
Yes, exactly.
What exactly can the Merkaba be used for at this point in the ascension?
The spinning of the Merkaba, other than using it, which is not a voluntary thing, to crack the luminous eggs around our body, other than that, I really don't know at this point what they can be used for. In the past, when we were in the stages of illusion, which ended in August 2006, it was very useful for all sorts of things. It was useful to activate, you know, now let's say somebody is suppressing their emotions. It can be useful to spin the Merkaba to get the emotions to flow. But Mother has done so much and put so much in place in terms of the laws of reality to get everything to be flowing, to remedy things that the Merkaba used to do, that I really don't see much point in regularly doing it at this point.
It's better to spend one's time than developing that divine sovereignty relationship with Mother, I would imagine.
Yes, and you know, honey, I think it would be a great idea if you could tell people how you do it. Because, Paul, my great admiration to you, when you set your clock for every 2 hours just to do that five-minute connection, it keeps your day in a place of order. And if you will, can you explain that to them?
Sure. Well, it's really quite simple, given the principles that Almeen speaks about in terms of love, praise, and gratitude, not only attracting awareness to us, but also helping to instill a relationship of divine sovereignty between oneself and the infinite. So the more that one can remember to live in that state of love, praise, and gratitude, generating those heart feelings, the more that type of a relationship and that bond is created. And just even something as simple as setting one's watch for every 2 hours or so, if one's day is busy, it just helps to remind us that not to get too distracted by all the doing, and to take a few minutes to generate the love, praise, and gratitude. And however one can do that, thinking of all the things that that engender those feelings, and to send those genuine feelings of love, praise, and gratitude to Mother. And doing it for a few
and
minutes.
You know, the way that I do it is to think of everything in nature that
yes,
gives me so much joy.
Helpful. Yeah.
The beautiful lilies that blow in the wind, and as her face, you know, and the clouds that sweep across the sky, as the ever-changing awareness that flows forth from her. And this is the way of effortless growth that you've described, Paul, to be in a relationship of what's called divine sovereignty. Now, we've discussed this on previous shows, but to be in that relationship with the Mother means that that's, or the Mother-Father unit, they're our primary relationship. Everything else is secondary. And the connection with them enables us to grow as they grow. And their awareness grows moment by moment by moment. In other words, we hitch our wagon to a star. Let's take a few-minute break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
The brand. brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And Paul, without much ado further, we will just head straight into your question. What would that be?
Well, Almeen, in the first portion of the show today, you were talking about the relationship between mother and father, and you mentioned how the mother's first creation, the original God, the Father, was missing for a large portion of the dissension cycles, not really able to engage in them very much. I'm wondering if this might explain to some degree why so many people have felt that prayers to the Father have gone unheard.
Well, there are a lot of reasons that prayers to the Father went unheard, and that is when the mother entered the specific screen in which creation first took place. The Father stayed outside the screen, and he had multiple functions. One of them was to channel the presence of the beings inside to the mother, even as she went into the deepest areas of density and herself underwent forgetfulness. He always kept that open because without her attention, they would cease to exist. He became like a conduit to make sure that that attention stayed. And human beings have felt very abandoned as they've bargained and pleaded and tried to continue to have faith in whatever form of God they have prayed to throughout the ages of human existence. And you know, where are the answers to our prayers? Why does God not respond when we sincerely try to do our part? Some have steadfastly maintained their belief in a God who rewards good with good and withholds or punishes when they are not good. After all, they've been told by their churches that if they cannot hear the voice of God or their prayers are not answered, there must be something wrong on their end. And this has left the human race with, you know, which with a deep sense of that life should have been better, and with a great feeling of being abandoned. And so the guilt of, oh, it must be me that's wrong, is passed on from generation to generation and exacerbated by the teachings of most primary religions that flesh is an unworthy and unholy vehicle for the spirit. I mean, how can one embrace the journey joyously when housed in a sinful or unworthy body? So a joyless life is simply a slow death. And thus, instead of embracing life, much of humanity embraced death. And this manifested self-defeating circumstances and a life filled with failure. Meanwhile, grief, you know, which they had, which was a desire to change, prodded them into a better perception and understanding. This vicious cycle of guilt, shame, abandonment, and grief in which mankind had been immersed for eons of the cycles of the fall was so painful that one or two things happened. Either they live in their heads and that's where the dialogue comes from, you see, suppressed by their selective perception, their feelings of anguish. Or they live hedonistically, you know, drugs, everything else. But either way, their lives are so shallow that they become more and more fruitless in yielding insights. And the pain level has to increase because the very reason for existence, which is, you know, to evolve awareness, is ignored through such a life. And the life spirals of awareness, which, you know, as you mentioned, we pull towards us with love, praise, and gratitude, become less and less accessible. So as the pain increases, they turn to drugs and alcohol and television, shopping, eating, working, you know, or even some form of religion or service, which makes them feel worthy again. Some hide their pain at being abandoned by God in rage, acting destructively as though taunting God. If you're not there for me, then what's the point of being good? And others, having a small fragment of what they perceive as truth, cling to it for dear life in this scenario of uncertainty, and then they try to convert everyone along the way to their only truth, which is a great deal of dogmatic fervor. So, what are the perceptions that life is prodding us to get about what prayer really is and how we can be masters of our own fate? So, let's look at that just a little bit. We've been praying to God the Father, God the I Am, or God the Creator. This is the equivalent of the physical body asking the mental or emotional body to make it better when the unresolved patterns that we find in the physical come from the mental. You know, so in other words, we're asking those that give us the reason for discomfort to help us. Now, what I mean by that is as follows. The imposter gods lived in what you could call the mental body of the cosmos. It's in physicality where all true new information is gained. So when there are perception blockages in the mental body of the cosmos, who is it that's going to solve it? Humanity, which is the densest level of a physical being that you can find. But they're praying to the ones who are giving them the things to solve for the solution. So, you know, it doesn't work. So communicating with our higher self that holds the blueprint for our various lifetimes was far more conducive to that purpose. But the point is that we no longer even have a higher self. So we blend it with our etheric selves as the cosmos started to go into an ascension. So at this time, all highest wisdom that we need for our next step is within us, physically, right here and right now. It takes letting go of resistance to life, to cease striving, to cease trying to plan the future. We can certainly dream in our dreams and then focus on each step. But to try and create a future exactly the way we have to have it, a planned future is a closed future. Or constantly living in anticipation of the future. You know, if we don't go to the future, we let the future come to us. And we live with the focus in the moment. And then we become masters that create answers to our prayers. So, if we take a look at what density is, prayer may take longer to answer than we realize because the very nature of the word density denotes a more complex relationship between what, you know, the cause and effect. So the process by which the purpose of the infinite unfolds is slowed in physicality. There's a much longer gap between cause and effect. So the personality, you know, that is here, that wishes to have things in a certain way, it will take a while for that to happen. The release of suffering in answer to prayer takes time. So we have seen that suffering in the past preceded that we needed to change our perspective. Let's take a look at what the solution to that problem is. If we change our focus from form to indwelling life, we become free from expectations as to outcome or timing. If we do that, suffering is not the real tragedy, but failing to use the priceless opportunity of learning information never before accessed, which we have contracted to learn. So having come to the only place in the cosmos where new insights can be obtained, new information right here in the physical, and then failing to learn them places the burden on others. Now to have a double load to learn. The one who embraces challenge as the way to gain this new knowledge, to live through the heart, for it's our guidance system, has nothing to pray for. To remove one's challenges is to remove growth. We don't have to have hardship anymore. There's support, but support all the time challenges us to expand our boundaries. And this will dramatically decrease the level of pain that prods change. Life becomes a fluid cooperative dance between the light seeker and the flow of the river of all life. So that's another issue around prayer. And then, you know, if I can tackle another one.
Sure.
We feel we cannot receive or hear guidance from higher realms. And in some instances, we may even feel as though our suffering is unfair since it comes to prod us into change when, you know, it won't be necessary if God would just tell us what to do. After all, it's in our obedience or the relinquishing of our will that God wants. You know, that's what people seem to think. God, in whatever form perceived, is light. Mother is light. Light is the known. We are, at this dense level, exploring the unknown. If it's only obedience that Mother wants, all growth would stop since it would always stay within the pool of the known. Let us look at it from a different angle. Mother has the tools to deal only with the known, and she has with the unknown, but we are those tools. That's why the infinite uses us to deal with the unknown by feeling the indwelling life within it. Through feeling, we access the truth behind appearances. So the infinite does not just need obedience, but our diligence as explorers of consciousness in learning the things that the infinite doesn't yet know. Right now, our instruction in life has been to find new ways in which we can live everything that Mother is, all that is beautiful and pure and elegant and graceful and truthful and passionate and joyous. How many ways can we live that? If we can find a way to live that, we can teach Mother something that she might not have experienced before. Now we are fulfilling our destiny. So, you know, there's a little book that's called, I think it's Sons of God? It's Ye Are Gods. I'm not quite sure what it's called, but anyway, it says, it does not speak to you with words to be heard by your ears. This book is by Ruby Nelson, by the way. It is a voice to be felt, a vibration as sweet and unmistakable as the music of the spheres. The two main reasons for our inability to hear guidance are the roaring thunder of the internal dialogue in our heads and the dulling of our ability to receive these delicate and refined vibrations because of negative emotions caused by incorrect perceptions. Through diligently working on gaining insights of what lies behind appearances as we move through life, filling our hearts with love and praise and gratitude and practice, we no longer need to strain or make an effort. Just sit in silence and let coherent light play across the weary brain cells of your surface mind. Trust, obey, and love it, and your receptivity will increase. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back after these messages.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power above Espada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almaine's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Almaine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almaine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almaine, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We are speaking about prayer. And we have spoken about the fact that even as the highest wisdom guides us, we have to know that because we are blazing a trail into the unknown, there are simply places where we have to walk, sometimes with faltering steps, through uncharted territory where no guidance, other than our sense of what is life-enhancing, exists. We can do it with impeccability as our shield and truth as our armor. We have come here just for this purpose, into the densest levels of existence, where all new knowledge is gained. With the keen sword of awareness to cut a broad swath from that which has never been experienced before and turn it into experiential knowledge and light. But lastly, on this topic of prayer, there is a general misconception of what prayer is. Prayer is that which through intent manipulates or affects the nature of reality. You know, previously thoughts fall into the reservoir of the heart and combined with emotion, acting upon the substance of things hoped for. Those infinitesimally small cosmic rays that are little awareness particles that become atoms to form matter. Therefore, we used our thoughts and our feelings and created our life circumstances. What then is our most predominant prayer? The few hastily uttered words at night, or the thoughts that occupy our minds all day? The ability of human beings to create their own reality is not an accident. We are the microcosm of the macrocosm, with the same creative ability as the infinite, that used thought plus emotion to create us. But the violence and other negatives of the entertainment world in which our children grow up load the mind with negative thoughts and create negativity in their lives. As we allow fear, often externally imposed, to get a foothold in our emotions, the negative thoughts and emotions create a negative world for us. Mother has put in place that which prevents us from creating it as an actual reality for others. But the true power of man has been deliberately obscured by those who have played the light detractors during ages of darkness that went before, because of how much has hinged on us. Few beings in the cosmos have been aware of just how vast a role we play and will be playing. Even the light promoters had only an inkling of the power inherent in man. So what is the solution? Because of the ability to warp the web of interconnectedness that includes all life and create karma, warriors of light stalk their minds endlessly. They strive to fill their minds with only the most beautiful thoughts possible, for this is their prayer. They create their reality consciously, reverently, and with joy. What a tragedy that few have understood the great gift of self-determination that has been bestowed on humankind, wallowing instead in the mire of self-pity and resentment that life is not better than it is, and that some omnipotent, far-off god or goddess does not heed their prayers to eliminate the negative results of their own making. We may be the child in terms of being the created offspring of the infinite, but we have been endowed with all we need, and we have been brought into Mother's inner space to grow up and create the beautiful world we pray for. So that is that on prayer, Paul, and any other question.
Wow, Almeen, thank you very much for discussing prayer so in-depthly. I'm sure it's expanded a lot of listeners' understanding of the concept. And actually, just to continue on in that vein just a little bit more, I'm thinking of how we use or call upon angels and lords, for example, in Belvas Batah, and how it relates to what you called loving support when you were talking, and how this is a form of prayer that's not asking for these beings to solve things for us, but just for their support. And,
a very good idea.
Yeah.
And what we've attempted to do through many of our books is to give the following, because this is how you get an angel's phone number, if you will. Number one, all the compilation of angel names that we've had over the ages, with the exception of a few archangels like Michael and Metatron and Raphael and so on, have actually given way to whole other pantheons, legions of angels. And the reason for that is that we have raised in consciousness so dramatically since February of 2005 that in this cosmic ascension that took place, angels were reabsorbed back into the group soul and emerged again with higher functions, higher frequencies. In other words, they were upgraded models. So how then do we know who they are and what they do? So what I've taken of the tens of thousands of angels that I've worked with over the last couple of years under the instruction of Mother herself, I've had to know their sigils and their meanings and the sigils of the meaning, as well as their names, of course. So tens of thousands of them. I have in my storage room sheet upon sheet upon sheet of those. I've endeavored to give a few hundred spread out over a couple of the books so that people can know the names of the new angels and they can know their functions, called a meaning. A being gets a meaning when they have, in fact, done a noteworthy task on behalf of the role that they play in the cosmos. What a sigil is a little roadmap, and it tells you exactly what that angel does. As angels upgrade, their sigils change as well. So we've given you their sigils, we've given you their new functions, we've given you names, not only of angels, but of that very little known about kingdom of the Lords. And we have done this because when you have their sigil, and you can make that little symbols drawing, if you will, and you know their meaning, and you can make the meanings drawing, and you know their name, that's their phone number. They must come. There is no way a being cannot respond in the hidden realms if you have those things. Whether they were demons, you know, which we no longer have in the cosmos, because we have, as we've multiple times pointed out, solved all illusion as of August 2006. And this is explained in the Ring of Truth. But demons would obey if you have their sigils, and in some cases even they have meanings, and because they've played their part of illusion so well, and their names, they must obey. So must angels. So it's the way you have the number. When you have that, you have their phone number.
Even if they're sleeping, Elmine?
Even if they're sleeping. And the reason he says that is angels tended to sleep a lot. The higher angels are awake more, but even when they're sleeping, your phone rings, you wake up.
Wow. Well, that's good to know, actually. One student was interested to know if some other being was sent, if the angel she called during a Belvas Batas session was sleeping. So that's that will put her at ease.
And we should also tell our listeners about Belvas Batas as being a sacred healing modality that Mother gave when many healing modalities cease to function, when energy no longer attracted its opposite, which is healing energy to disease energy, in August of 2006. And what website would they go to for that, Paul?
They can go to www.belvaspata.com. And we actually have spoken about Belvas Batas at great length on a couple earlier shows in this very series. So people can check out the archives at bbsradio.com and find those shows there.
And, you know, we possibly also ought to tell them a little bit about Lourdes.
Sure.
For practical matters and where there is quite a bit of power needed, the kingdom of Lourdes, and they can take form, but they generally resemble a big sphere of light when they are not in formed state. But they can take form, in fact, really beautiful specimens. Lourdes are very good to call for very physical things, such as I had an office worker, and the office worker made a mess of my office, and now somebody else is trying to make order out of it. You know, please help them because they're getting very overwhelmed. The angel would work with the mental component of that person. The Lord will help you find what you need to put your fingers on things so that you can organize it better. So that's what they would do. This slightly different function. We also give their names and their sigils and their tasks in the books.
And are Lourdes the same, or are they different from gods and goddesses?
No, they are different from gods and goddesses. They have not, they're not at that high of a level.
Okay.
They would be more on par with, say, an angel. Just slightly different, more mechanical type of job rather than a more etheric type of job.
Now, Almeen, can Belle L'Hospital, I know it's been, there's been many miracle stories coming in about its use for healing many physical and emotional ailments. I'm wondering if Belle L'Hospital can actually be used as a means of spiritual growth as well.
Belle L'Hospital does amazing things in terms of the practitioner, him or herself. Every time the master uses those sigils, it alters themselves. And every time they do it, as you know, the different levels hook into different soul groups. And, you know, so in other words, if you're an initiate, you would hook into a specific soul group. Like, let's say you are an abuse survivor, you would hook into other abuse survivors. Every time you use it, you would heal. The person you're using it on would heal as a healing modality. And the whole soul group would heal. And, you know, you, as a master, you hook into the planetary grid. You know, grandmaster, that's the adept. It's the next stage, level two. But you eventually, you're healing portions of the cosmos.
Wow.
Paul, you know, to backtrack just for a second, and then we should take the little commercial break before our ending. But in the back, in the appendix of the Ring of Truth, we give what's so special. We give the first 21 lords of the 300 that serve the Holy Mother. So what is so beautiful about that is that, let's say you really wanted something to get to the Holy Mother. They are around her almost all the time. For instance, the name of Balak Speruch Parvi. We give the sigil that you draw with your hand, in the air even, as you call him. The meaning is the one who brings the bounty. And then you draw the sigil. As you read out his meaning with your hand in the air or on paper, you can have them in front of you and watch them and trace them as you read out that name. But you will do that, and that Lord will take messages straight to the Mother, because the 300 Lords around the Mother are an interface with her. You know, not that you need, like there's Praatmut Belech Abi Harahut Velsbi is the one who does miracles in Mother's name. They are so beautiful and luminous. And so I just want to tell people that they can go there, and they also will get some of the 100 or so of the angels of the throne, which is mentioned in Revelations as being around the throne day and night of the Mother. We have just a few minutes left, so just let's take a very quick break.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back for the last 5 or 6 minutes of our show. And we hope that you will join us every week because a lot of this information builds on itself. And so you get a little bit deeper and deeper into these topics every week. Paul, we have time for one more question. What would you like to ask?
Well, Almeen, I was wondering if there was anything else you wanted to say about these lords you were talking about and how they can, if you could give any more examples of how they can be called upon for assisting people with whatever it is that they might need assistance with.
The thing is to match the right lord to the right function. Because beings in the cosmos, they are very one-minded in terms of specializing. For example, let's say that an angel is someone's guardian angel. And there are such things as guardian angels and so forth. So let's say someone is your guardian angel. There is no point in asking the guardian angel to go over and help your mother when she's sick. That being will not leave your side. They've been assigned a certain task. That's all that they will do. Something else that is very much different than it was before is this issue of spirit guides. Oftentimes what we think of as our spirit guide is actually just the higher wisdom within ourselves speaking to ourselves, because Mother has put a real break on, not a stop to, but a break to beings in the etheric constantly telling humans what to do. It is in the flesh, and we reiterate this a lot, but it is in the physical where all new knowledge is gained. All they can help us with is to give us eternal principles. And if we are confronted with a specific situation, the principles that are the eternal wisdom to deal with that is already in us. They cannot tell us what to do because they don't know. They are not in the realm where such new information is accessed. We are. So be careful of spirit guides taking over your life instead of living your own life. Physicality has a higher wisdom than anywhere else in that if you become literate in reading the signs in your environment, that is where the highest truth will be reflected to you. As Shakespeare said, environment is but a looking glass. And so it is in the signs in your environment that you will get your guidance moment by moment as you walk through life, not from a spirit guide who is trying to interpret. Spirits are supposed to assist certain people through difficult times, but you will find that they come and they go, and they don't tell you what to do. Only in very rare situations where it may save a life and you might hear the voice or something, but they don't tell you day by day how to live. If they do, they should not be. And angels, oh my gosh, what an incredible race of beings. Throughout the cycles of the fall, angels never faltered. They never, ever, ever betrayed the Infinite Mother. They, like the unicorns and like the Pegasus, and there are a few other kingdoms, including the Darklings, they have been absolutely true blue in their impeccability. You know, the angels of darkness and so on, those aren't angels. Those were beings embodying chaos, which no longer exist, because all things that needed to be solved about the mystery of being has. And as such, there is no more illusion. They were primarily in function to embody illusion so that it did not chaotically spill over into the rest of creation. My beloved light family, it is time for us to close this day. Wherever you are in the world, I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.